Now tonight, or today, rather, I want to turn to the book of Nehemiah, in Nehemiah and chapter 3, and we'll just read a few verses together. In Nehemiah chapter 3, and we'll read the first five verses. Nehemiah 3, and we'll read it at verse number 1, and then we'll read one other verse later down in the chapter. Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it. Even unto the lower, the tower of Maah, they sanctified it unto the tower of Hananel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zachar the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasaniah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Meremoth the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. And next unto them repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshechabeel. And next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Baana. And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. And then two other verses, 26 and 27. Moreover, the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel, unto the place over against the water gate toward the east, and the tower that lieth out. After them, the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out even unto the wall of Ophel. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before thee today, and we thank thee, our Father, for this happy day where we can meet in the house of the Lord around the Word of God. And we thank thee, O God, that thou art not a dead God, but thou art alive and alive forevermore. And Lord, by a thousand different ways, every day, thou dost manifest thyself to thy people. And we praise you, O God, that we have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We pray that thou would bless thy people and encourage them in the Lord. We think especially, Father, of our sister Kay and of Grace also, and of others, Lord, who need thy touch. Our Father, we pray that thou be with them, that where they are just now, they might be very assured of the presence and the peace of the Lord. And Father, we pray that thou would leave thy hand upon them, and grant, O God, they'll be able to say, the Lord hath heard an answered prayer. So we commend them to thee. Bless us now, Lord, as we turn to the Word of God. We pray that thou would speak to us by the Holy Ghost, refresh and encourage every soul, and bless us and do us good, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the prayer meetings for the last little while, Dr. Saunders has been doing a series of messages in the book of Nehemiah. And it is a very, very worthwhile study. It is a book rich with practical instruction. Now, Christianity is a doctrinal religion. There are all kinds of very, very important doctrines found in the Word of the Lord. But with the doctrines, there must also come practical teaching. You can think of Paul, for example. His epistles always start off with doctrine, but then he goes on to apply the doctrine, and it comes out in the practice of the lives of God's people. And if our doctrine does not translate into practice, then there's a serious problem with our doctrine indeed. Now today, I want to wish you all a happy new year. Now, I haven't lost my marbles when I say that. I know it's not the first week of January, and neither is it any special anniversary of our church or birthday of our church or work. But the reason why I say happy new year is because really the new church year starts in the month of September. That the summer is now past. July and August, where during that period we can't really do very much because so many people are away having well-earned vacations. But this time of the year, the children are back to school again. Things are back to normal. Most of the vacations are over and the people are back to the house of God. And so this is a time to encourage the congregation to move forward and to move forward in the work of the Lord. And it is a time also to cast off summer lethargy, because during July and August you can become very lethargic in your spiritual walk, and also you get your daily discipline upset somewhat because of the difference of the summer season. But now we get back to discipline time when we cast off the summer lethargy, get rid of the ashes of indolence, add fresh fuel to the fire, and begin to move forward. Now, in this chapter in Nehemiah, you have a list there of the families that were involved in rebuilding the wall. The wall was broken down and so on, as you've heard before. But now here is a listing of the families that were involved in building the wall of Jerusalem after the captivity. And there's a wonderful lesson for us there, because the work of God in any congregation is not the work of the minister and the elders and deacons and a few other people. It is the work of every single family, because in this case, they all went round the wall, each one did a bit, and together they're able to build the wall and go forward. And so there's a good lesson for us there in the family. And you ask yourself, what is my family doing? What is your family doing in the service and the advancement of the kingdom of the Lord? I want today to look at one family in particular in this chapter. In verse 5 it says, "Next to them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord." And then in verse 27, "After them the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out even unto the wall of Ophel." So I want to focus this morning on this family, the Tekoites, and to learn some practical lessons that may encourage all of us to go forward as we face the New Year's work in the church, the Sunday school, the young people's fellowship, and all the various ancillary works that we have in our congregation. Now, the first part I want to stress is the words, "the work of their Lord," at the end of the verse that says, "the work of their Lord." And that reminds me of a task that is to be accomplished. Now, as you know, Jerusalem at that time was in a miserable state. Nehemiah, who was in the palace in Persia in Shushan, about 750-800 miles due east of Jerusalem, he was there, and he received a sad report from his brother Hanani, who told him that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down, that the gates were burned with fire. And so Nehemiah was greatly concerned when they heard of the state of his city of Jerusalem. He, of course, had been taken captive in the captivity. But the sad thing is that there were people who were back in Jerusalem. Not all the Jews were taken away, but there was a number of people there, and they got used to the situation of the walls broken down, the gates burned, and they walked every day over the rubble. And they got used to it, and they didn't do anything. Now, when we were doing the visitation around this area, we came to some very beautiful houses and some very beautiful gardens. But on the other hand, we came to some houses that were far from beautiful and some gardens that were like a wilderness. And I think of one particular one, I'm not identified in case people hear about it, but I think of one particular one that I came to where they had an interlocking paved driveway. And that obviously at one time was very, very nice and very well and professionally laid down. But by the time I got along, that it had not had any maintenance for quite some considerable time, and the weeds were growing up through it, and you'd think that somebody come along and see that weed and pull it out, because every time you take them out, they're not going to grow anymore. But these people, whoever they were, they didn't do that, and their driveway and their garden was an absolute mess. But they're used to that. And they walk in and out, and they never think of picking a weed or straightening something or cutting the grass even. They don't think of doing that. These people here in Nehemiah's day, they were used to the rubble, they were used to the situation, and they didn't do anything to repair it and to help it. And that's a lesson that each of us can learn, because all these people were concerned about was their own little home and their own little place that they'd be able to hammer out during a time of oppression, and they looked after themselves. But the wider picture of the whole city of Jerusalem, that went right past them. And again, you get away there in the book of Haggai, which is speaking about the same time, and Haggai is given the message. He says, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste?" He's talking there about the temple. Here's they're so busy looking after themselves that the house of God is lying waste. And again, he says that they suffered badly because of mine house that is waste, and ye did run every one unto his own house. So here's a people, and they were not looking after the place where they were. And so we could ask ourselves, Lord, am I in that category, or am I a worker? Now into the scene comes Nehemiah, and Nehemiah was a man who was greatly touched by the situation. Now, he didn't need to worry about it, because he had a very good job in the palace of the king of Persia. He was the king's cupbearer. He didn't need to worry about what's happening 800 miles away in Jerusalem. He could have said, as for me, I'm all right, Jack, and let the rest of them fix that place there. But that wasn't Nehemiah. Nehemiah had a great concern, and his concern was such that he's willing to do something. But not only was he willing to do something himself, he was a great motivator. Because he came back to Jerusalem, and he directed the people, and he encouraged them. Because the first thing he did was, when he came back, he assessed the problem. And it tells us there in the second chapter how that he came, and by night time he gathered a few men round him, and they went out on a view of the city. And he didn't really tell them what he was thinking or what he was doing. But he's looking there, and they're looking at the rubble, looking at the task. And after he had done that, then he comes as an encourager. Because he said to them, "Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Then comes the kicker. He says, "Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach." But Nehemiah, that's too big a job for us. We are only here, and we have this enemy to deal with, and we can't do it. But Nehemiah came to motivate and to encourage the people. And this morning, as we start off a New Year's work in the church, it is my prayer that we'll be able to motivate everyone and go forward in the work of the Lord. Now that expression there in our text, the work of the Lord, the word for work there is the word that means service. Now Dr. Saunders already has been instructing and encouraging our teaching staff in the school with the idea that we are servants of the Lord, and that we are. And this verse here is speaking about the work of their Lord, or the service of the Lord. And so he's speaking here about servants who are working, not for a church, but working for the Lord God Almighty. And so I want to think a little bit just for a moment about the service the Lord has called us to do. First of all, he has given us a call to evangelization. It is our task not just to minister the Word of God here in the congregation, but to reach out into this area and to reach out with the good news of the gospel. We have sent out 10,000 copies of the four gospels over this past 4 years. We have taken them out, rather, and as well as that, we have a message at the end of our church building that is pumping out every day and every week, not some trite little statement that somebody has put together as a nice little church statement, but rather we're pumping out the Word of God, and we're trying to evangelize this area and reach the people, lost people, with the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the service of God, the work of God, involves evangelism, reaching out to the perishing and caring for the dying. But then not only that, we are to be involved in the service of God in edification, rather. An edification, the word edify or edifice, to build up. Our task is to build up the saints of God and to see them strong in the Lord. And to do that, we have to feed them, not with the junk food of modern religion or with the candy floss of modern religious practice, but to feed them with the solid Word of the living God. Because weak believers are of little use in the service of God, but strong believers are. The Bible tells us the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And it's our task in our congregation to see believers built up in their most holy faith, that they may be strong as they go out in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then also part of our service for God is not just evangelization and edification, but also education. Because the Lord has called us here to a teaching ministry. And we have a teaching ministry. We have a Sunday school where week after week our teachers come, they have studied, and they come to teach the boys and girls in the basic principles of the gospel and the doctrine of the Word of the Lord. Then the Lord led us to establish a school, and we have our Whitfield Christian Schools, and the school restarted in this past week for the new year. And what a thrill to see all those children under our care, under teachers there as servants, servants of the Lord, teaching boys and girls the basic principles of the Word of the living God. And as well as that, we have other teaching tools. We've got a library filled with books. We encourage you to read and to learn to read solid literature. We have a library of a bookstore that makes good, solid Christian literature available. We have a magazine that we send out for the last 30 years, going out every time, containing messages to educate the people that we come to. So the Lord has given us these various works. And as well as that, he's given us the ministry of encouragement. And I have to thank the Lord for the army of workers that we have in our congregation. And yesterday, we saw them working together and working just smoothly together, everything coming together well. And again, we had some serious situations with funerals recently. Just tell our woman and they have the place prepared. We have workers there who give of their best to the Master. And these are tremendous encouragement because they give of their time, they give of their substance, and they give of their talent for the advancement of the work of God. And then, not only do we have a service of evangelization and of edification and of education and encouragement, but also a ministry of exertion. Because for these people here to start and move those great big stones and get them into the wall and get them rebuilt That was not an easy task, and they didn't have modern excavators and so on that could lift the stones. They had to bend their backs, and they had to work. At the same time, as you discover that the enemy was coming against them, they held the sword in the one hand, the trowel in the other, and they got to the business and to great exertion. And folks, we need to discipline ourselves all the time. And at this time of year, when we're starting anew as church year, is a good time just to reassert our discipline as we go forward in the service of Christ. And we need to ask ourselves seriously, Lord, my own life, are the walls broken down? Are the doors of my life burned with fire? Is my life just rubble? Is it just like the vineyard of the slothful? Or is it a life that is well disciplined in the service of the Lord? Every year I have to take maybe a couple of times a year, a couple of days to tidy up my study. Because you have no idea the amount of paper that comes in and goes out. And we are told, you know, in these days that we are to be very green and that we are to conserve. And we are continually bombarded right, left and center. And some of these days I'm going to send a letter to the Toronto Star because they are telling us about wasting resources. And they send out a paper on Saturday and I've weighed it. It weighs 1 kilogram, 2.2 pounds. Of newsprint, most of it's got into the garbage, not even reading. And they tell us about this here. And so we get a lot of paper comes across our desks and so on. And I have to stop usually in the middle of the summer and usually at the Christmas time and tidy up my study because I cannot work in an untidy environment. I have to have things neat and tidy. And once I get it all cleaned up, then I can work far, far better. And likewise in your life, if your life is careless and untidy and undisciplined, you don't get much joy out of it. But when you get things straightened out and everything is disciplined and you tidy up your life, then you can go forward rejoicing. And I'd encourage you just to look and say, well, Lord, what about the walls in my life? Are they broken down? Time to get the stones back up again. And also, those walls broken down have a message regarding separation. Because when the walls are broken down, there was no separation between the people in the city and the people outside. And they could just walk to and fro. And the Christian church today is a bit like that, where the laws and the walls of separation are broken down. And we need to make sure that we maintain the separatist stand that the Bible has told us to take, not to be joined together with unbelievers, and not to be joined together with those who deny the very cardinal precepts of the Word of the Lord. So it's a task to be accomplished, a great one, evangelization, edification, education, encouragement, and it all requires exertion. Second point I want to make is the tendency to be avoided. Next unto them in our text it says that the Tekoites labor repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. So while the ordinary people were working hard, the nobles of this family of the Tekoites, they did not put forward their necks to the work of the Lord. In other words, the picture here is of the oxen going forward, and they bow their necks, and they have the yoke applied, and off they go, and they plow and do whatever work has to be done. These Tekoan nobles, they did not put forward their necks to the work of the Lord. Now, the cause of the refusal, why did they not do that? Might have been pride, beneath their dignity. We are nobles in this noble family, and let the ordinary people do the work, but we are not going to do it. And so you've met people like that who will not do something because they're considered beneath their dignity. But I've always worked on the principle in my own ministry I don't ask people to do something that I don't do myself. And if it requires digging with a digger, I dig. Whatever has to be done, has to be done. And none of us have any right to lift up our heads and say, well, that's for somebody else to do. That is beneath my dignity. Because what dignity do we have other than what the Lord has given to us? So perhaps pride was a problem in the case of these people. Certainly selfishness was, because they were more concerned about their own work than they were about the work of God, because the rebuilding of the walls and the temple in Jerusalem, that was very definitely a God-directed work. And these characters, they weren't getting involved because they were probably the ones that Haggai is speaking about, who are looking after their sealed houses and running to their own places and neglecting the work of the Lord. Perhaps it might have been indifference, that indifferent to the work of their Lord. And these were not unbelievers, because these were people who did believe in the Lord. Indifferent to the work of the Lord? Surely not. Surely you'd never find a follower of God who'd be indifferent to the work of God. Sadly, it is a case that there are people who are believers who are indifferent, it seems, to the work of the Lord. The bottom line probably is a lack of spirituality, because these people here were more concerned about the carnal advancement of their own estates than they were about the spiritual advancement of the kingdom of God at that time. So, have to remember that the work of God is holy, not just H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y, where we give ourselves wholly, like Hezekiah and others, to the work of the Lord. And today I do pray that every one of us here, now I'm not here this morning to berate you. I'm not here this morning to scold you, but rather to make you think a little bit and to hopefully guide you into the work of the Lord, because while we have an army of workers here, there's so much more we could do if we had more who were working in the work of the Lord. So we don't want a people here to be like the nobles who don't put their necks to the work, but rather those who are hard workers in the cause of the Lord. There was some guilt that was associated with their refusal. First of all, coming from injustice to others. Here were people in Nehemiah's day who were very happy to enjoy others building up the wall and protecting them, but they wouldn't lift a little finger to help. And likewise, you'll find in the Christian church there are those people who are very happy to receive from the hand of God, but in terms of giving to the Lord, that's another matter altogether. And that's why we sung that hymn there, where the Lord says, I have given much for you, what have you given for me? And so that is something we have to face and consider. And also the fact that some people do not help. Now these nobles here must have been a tremendous discouragement to the ordinary people who were working. But they... ordinary people went on with their job. People who don't work for God, they are ones who discourage others who are. And that's something. They're happy to have the blessing without the burden. But the bottom line really is rebellion against the Lord. Because the Lord has brought us into this world here for basically 70 years. He saves our souls, and as the old cliche says, He saves us to serve the Lord. That's why we're called by God. But when we don't serve the Lord, we are really looking God in the face and says, we will not do what we ought to be doing. We're happy to receive. We sometimes speak about, oh, that's a give and take business. We give and they take. I hope you're not one of those believers. We are to be those who not only receive the blessings of the Lord, but also will be giving to God of our time and of our talents. So these ones rebelled against God. And not only that, even another thing is these Tekoite nobles, they actually were assisting and helping the enemies of the Jewish people. Because around the city, as Nehemiah is trying to lead the people to build the walls again, you have Sanballat and you have Tobiah, and you've got these characters who tried to stop the work. And the Tekoite nobles, while they may not have thought that, they were actually helping the enemy. Because if they had put their necks to the work, how much quicker the work would have been done. But they didn't, and so therefore they were in a sense assisting the enemy. Let us never be in the position of helping the devil do his work. Let the devil do his own work. But let we as people stand up and stand up for God and for his gospel and his son. Not only that, but the situation also was one that was punishable. Didn't put their necks to the work of the Lord. You go to the New Testament, you read the story of the man who gave out the 5 talents, the 2 talents, and the 1 talent. And the two had the 5 and the 2, they multiplied, they did some work, and they were blessed. But the one who hid the talent, he was cursed, and he was judged because of it. And the Lord has given us all talents, and people say, well, there's nothing I can do. I can't preach, I can't do this, I can't do the other thing, but my friend, we will be surprised at what you can do when the Lord's in it. And you can do things that you look back and say, well, Lord, I never thought it was possible. I shared with you before my Sunday school in my previous church, and there's this man who came along, and he's now dead. He became an elder in our church, and he was in another church. And he's having a tough time because that church that apostatized and didn't want to hear the gospel. But Jack Burns, he took over our Sunday school and was there as the leader until the day that he died. And he's able to do the work. Then there's a man who built the church for us. And in fact, he's building the new church in Tandragee right now as we speak. Well, not on Sunday, of course. I went to him one day and said, Robert, do you ever think of teaching Sunday school? Oh, brother, I couldn't do that. I can build with bricks and mortar and timber and so on, but teaching Sunday school? Oh, I couldn't do that. He says, Robert, think about it. Pray about it and see what happens. So he came to me later and he says, Mr. McClellan, that I have been thinking and, I'll give it a try. And it wasn't long until when Mr. Burns died, Robert took over the job as the Sunday school superintendent. You see, he had talents he never knew he had. You had to use them. And perhaps there's somebody here today and you're sitting on the talent and the Lord wants you to use it. I want you to turn to a verse right now, a strange verse that Spurgeon has a tremendous comment on, Judges 5:23. Now, turn it up, I want you to look at it. Judges 5:23. Strange verse, but Spurgeon has a wonderful line on this particular verse. Judges 5:23, curse ye Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. One verse, curse ye Meroz, saith the angel of the Lord, curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. And Spurgeon asked the question. He says, what has Meroz done? You look in the verse, and you discover, didn't do anything. Because they were supposed to go to the help of the people of God, but they didn't. And so Spurgeon says, what has Meroz done? The answer, nothing. They answered words and said, is Meroz cursed? And the answer is, yes, it's cursed bitterly, because it says that curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof. And then Spurgeon says, well, why were they cursed bitterly? And the answer, for doing nothing. And then Spurgeon says, did Meroz fight against God? The answer, no. No evidence that they fought against God. And then he says, did Meroz put on the shield and the buckler against the Most High? The answer, no, he didn't do that either. And then he asked the question, well, what did Meroz do? The answer, nothing. And then he says, is Meroz cursed? Yes, cursed. What for? For doing nothing. What a tremendous message in that verse. Because God has called us to be laborers and workers for Him. So there's a tendency to be avoided, and that is being like the nobles, not putting your neck to the work of the Lord. Final point, a testimony to be admired. Because in verse 27, it says, after them, that's the Nethinims, after them the Tekoites, here they are again, repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out even on the wall at Ophel. Now these were just the ordinary people of the family of the Tekoites, and thank God for them. Because these people, despite their leaders, they worked like ants. Over in our back patio, we have a bit of trouble with these great big black ants. Maybe you've had them too. But boy, those things work hard. And I had to look at them and find where are they coming from, and I finally found the little hole in the brick without coming through. But I watched them carefully, and I noticed that there was no one ant sitting out there saying, right, fellas, over this side, and fellas, some food over there. Nobody gave them instructions. They come out, and they went to wherever they're supposed to go to find food for the family, no doubt holed up somewhere in the bricks of our home. So the Scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs, go to the ant, thou sluggard. The word sluggard is a slug. A slug is a destructive pest in the garden that eats holes in your plants. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So these people, the Tekoites, they worked like ants that nobody, their leaders left, let them down. Nobody there to help them, but they got on and they got the job done, and they didn't waste time. Now they could have sat and said, well, fellas, these leaders of ours are not doing a good job. Let's have a meeting together and we'll air this whole matter and we'll condemn these leaders. They didn't do that. They didn't waste time in meetings. They get on, there's a job to be done, let's get it done. And so out they went, and they didn't waste time, and they get on with the job, because it says in chapter 4, the people had a mind to work. And then they're able to say in the same chapter, so built we the wall. Because they had this mind to work. And not only that, but here are people of the same ilk as Philemon in the New Testament. Because the Lord came to Philemon, Paul came to Philemon, he said, I know that thou wilt also do more than I ask of thee. He asked for Onesimus to come back, runaway slave to come back and take him back as a free man. I know that thou wilt also do more than I asked of thee. And here are the second mile Christians, the Tekoites, because it says in verse number 27, after them the Tekoites repaired another piece. Now they didn't need to do that, because they already had done the piece down by the old gate where they were working. They had completed their work, but they saw something else to be done, and they moved their workers over, and they built up this other part of the wall. What a blessing when you get people who are second-mile Christians. Don't have to stand behind them. Don't have to force them. They do the work of God because they see what has to be done, and they give themselves. And that's a testimony that is to be admired. People who are willing to give of their very best for the Master. In closing, our testimony, my testimony, is it that of an indolent noble who won't put my neck to the work, or of an industrious worker in the cause of Christ? Remember, only one life, it will soon be passed. It's only what's done for Christ will last. Last word, volunteer. My mother used to say, never volunteer for anything, because if you do, you get the job. But that's the idea. And in the Christian work, we should volunteer. And we come along and we say to those who are in leadership, what can I do to advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus and advance the kingdom of God here in Malvern? What can I do? And even more important, what Paul said on the road to Damascus, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And again, the book of Ecclesiastes, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with all thy might. And so as we start this new year of our church work, I do pray that everyone will be inspired by the Lord to give more of their time to building up the work of God here in the Malvern area. Not easy, neither was it to build that wall without the equipment that we have today. But they did it. And likewise, our work's not easy, but the Lord will help us where there is a ready and a willing heart. May God help us to be those who will be able to say, so we built the wall. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee today for the challenges of thy word, and we pray, our Father, that our families will be like these Tekoites, who not only did what they had to do, but went beyond and went the second mile in the advancement of the work of God in Jerusalem. Our Father, we pray that thou would help us all not to be like those nobles who wouldn't put their neck to the work, but Lord, help us, we pray, to find out what we can best do. Oh God, there's so many things that can be done, not only public ministry, but in private discussion and visiting people and encouraging people. Oh God, there's so many tasks. We pray that everyone may find a task that thou would have them to do, and may they do it with all their might. Hear this our prayer, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number 566. 566, how I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold on me. Channels only, we'll sing the first, the third, and the last, and we'll stand to sing.